So you're living in Santa Fe and...
I lived in Santa Fe late 60s, early 70s. That's where I came of age as a writer. Santa Fe became my campus. On the streets of Santa Fe, I got my master's degree in writing because I sought out and found the old wisdom keepers, the old established writers and painters and poets and artists and just the keepers of magic, unbelievable. Frank Waters, the great writer, Paul Horgan. All I had on were my old Marine Corps combat boots. I didn't have two dimes to rub together. I waited tables, I tended bar, I did anything I could. I lived all over. You know, Santa Fe's not a cheap town. Either you go to Santa Fe dirt poor as a struggling writer or poet or filmmaker, or you go there with all the money in the world. I was loving it. I didn't give a damn. If I could come up with a dollar a day, I knew I could get lunch at La Fonda because I had a friend named Steve Peters, who was quite a bit older than me, who wrote Western Pulp, and that was his day job. And if I could get in there and scrape together a dollar, put it down, I would get a glass like that, and it would stay topped off with Jack Daniels, and I would have a big basket of fresh chips, tortilla chips, and a reservoir of chili con queso, and that was my meal. A dollar. I was living in a little apartment over a physical therapist studio in this beautiful old adobe, and I was paying $50 a month rent. And I was living with a guy named Al Licklider, who was an impresario who brought theatrical acts to town. He was years and years older than me. He was a combination of Merlin and P.T. Barnum. That's all I can say. He'd been married 14 times. I've never met a character like this in my life. He was unbelievable. So I'd get up, and I was publishing a little literary magazine called Esperanza, Hope. And I was writing poetry, I was writing journalism. But I'd get up and go to the post office, P.O. Box 1892, which I shared with Licklider. And I'd see if I got any money at all or rejection slips or whatever. And then I'd run my traps through the plaza. I'd go by and I'd see Jack Potter, a bookseller who was well connected in the literary world and just a great guy and a mentor to me. He had seven sons. Jack's long dead now. His son Nick runs that same bookstore. Looks just like Jack. But I got into La Fonda that day and I had a dollar. And there's Steve Peters dressed up like a toreador behind the bar. He and I didn't see eye to eye about writing. He wrote Western Pulp and I was more literary and more into pure journalism. And he pours me my whiskey and he gives me my chili con queso. And he said, Wallace, one of those old writers, the kind you like, checked into the hotel last night. And he was down here and I told him about you and he wants to meet you. So he's going to be down here. He said, here he is now. And I stood up and turned around. And he said, Michael Wallace, this is Thornton Wilder. Thornton Wilder. It was like being with Musial. You know, I was catatonic. But I was now an adult and I shook his hand. And I spent four full days with that man. He was in his 70s. This is a few years before he died. And he was there. He had a driver. And he had come back to visit Santa Fe and Taos because he had been out there as an expatriate in the 20s with Mabel Dodge Lujan up in Taos, the patroness of the Taos Art Colony, the one who attracted D.H. Lawrence here and Aldous Huxley, Robinson Jeffers, and Wilder, and so many others. And so I sat with him and my girlfriend at the time. I had a lot of girlfriends. By this time, Suzanne and I have gone our separate ways. She was only there a few years. It was too high octane. She went back to Mizzou to get another master's in guidance and psychology. And I just chased women and wrote. So this girlfriend at the time, he would feed her olives from his drink. He was just a great old man. And he would just tell me story after story about the old days and Lawrence and all these people.
Thornton Wilder, just name some of his works and just describe what kind of a person he was.
What immediately would come to mind for a lot of people is the incredibly quintessential play, Our Town. I think Wilder won four Pulitzer Prizes, at least three, for books and plays. At the time, I'll describe him. He had on gold, scholarly-looking rim glasses. He had a little trim sort of military mustache. He looked the part of an aging writer. He had on a tweed coat and a little, you know, those knit ties that we used to wear, the little square knit ties, and a button-down blue shirt. He was totally charming and totally giving of himself to me, a young, fledgling writer, which is something I've continued to do, as you should, I think. you need to nurture and mentor other writers. And he surely did that just by giving me his presence, his time, and a lot of his wisdom about some of his failures and successes, but more importantly, about the way he lived his life as a writer. That's what all of those old wisdom keepers gave me from New Mexico. They gave me a little piece of them.
Other works by Thornton Wilder?
Oh, The Bridges of St. Louis Ray is another big one. I've got one in there signed by him. There was a moment in those salad days when I was struggling out there where I really was having a hard time coming up with money. It was really important for me to keep writing. I walked into a coffee house on Canyon Road, and Lois Korinsky ran a little secondhand store there to supply the coffee house for their theatrical performances and poetry readings. And she sold really kind of neat little high-end items like a sterling tea set or an art book or something. She smoked and drank coffee in there. And she was the sister of Margaret Anderson, the great founder of the Little Review, published in Paris in the 20s, and published Ezra Pound, published the first Ulysses for James Joyce. Lois had been married several times. She had two sons. She was in her 80s. Her son Tom was in his early 60s. He was a chef at La Fonda. He had grown up in Paris at this time, and Hemingway, the young Hemingway, had taught him how to box, and he became an amateur champion in Paris. So Tom, when he wasn't chefing at La Fonda, would meet me in the afternoons, and we'd go to the Sombrero Bar, long gone on the plaza. It smelled of urine and stale beer, and every afternoon there was a good fistfight. And we'd sit at a table. He wore a beret, and he'd tell me stories of Paris in the 20s and about Hemingway and Fitzgerald and all this. And that. So one day I walk into Lois's store. She's smoking. She says, "Wallace, I've been looking for you." And she threw me a book. I looked at it, and it was called Taking the Count, a novel about boxing, published about 1921 by Scribner's, Hemingway's publisher. This is right before Hemingway went to Paris. And I opened it up, and there was a long inscription to Tom Peters from Hemingway about the art of boxing and how it's a metaphor for life. Long, handwritten, signed by Hemingway. She said, "I want you to have it." I said, "I can't take this." She said, "You like him." I thought he was an asshole. "You take it." I said, "Okay." You know, I felt about Hemingway, as much as I wanted to keep that book, I knew where to go with it, and I went to my friend Jack Potter at the Antiquarian Bookstore, another mentor, and I showed it to him. He said, "Would you like me to buy this from you?" And I said, "I would be ever so grateful." And I got probably about $350, which was a windfall for me there.